Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up.
The type of people made the club before. Many a day has passed.
So I decided to look up, man. Hey, we got Perry. We got Perry, man. He runs Seminole Nation. Tomahawk Nation, the Seminole Rap, man. Seminole Rap Podcast. I know I got that combining the two, but no, man. He runs Tomahawk Nation and Seminole Rap, the podcast, man. But he came to join us, man, to kind of talk about the spring game, some of the thoughts that we've seen, and we're gonna just have some fun, man. Y'all ready to dive in?
Yeah, I feel like I should have had a more dramatic intro after Sam, like.
Y'all know it, man. Sam had to drop his hand and revealed it up. I was like, oh, man, we doing intros now. Okay, you got a whole pop-up going.
Dude, I'd be like, I'd be writing shit down, and I have to remember that I'm actually on camera. So that means I got to look at the camera. I have to remember to do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, absolutely. So, yeah. Perry, man, go ahead and introduce yourself, man. Tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, you already said all the interesting parts. Managing editor of Tomahawk Nation took over. I think it's been a full year now, so it was great taking over right when all the sports got canceled. We also do the Seminole Rap. It's a podcast. Me, Juan Montalvo, you guys might remember him. Some of you FSU Twitter people, JMPB or whatever it was, and he was like a major asshole. He's very funny to listen to. And then our other host, Tim Scribble. We got another, actually, a video podcast. I don't know if you've seen it with Trey Rowland. He breaks down film alongside Kevin Little and then Adam Brown. He had the most generic white boy name. I couldn't remember what it was for a second. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. Been doing this since, like, 2012, 2013. Got to watch FSU be good. Got to watch FSU be mids. Got to watch FSU be terrible. So it's nice to see it kind of just going back to the mids direction.
Yeah, definitely, man. And I was excited, man. You hit me up. You was like, man, let me know. I want to come on. I was like, yo, you always, everybody's welcome on the Listen Up podcast. So that was dope. Copy that. All right.
So, I mean, you talked about, I guess, moving back to mid, which is a good starting point. Let's jump right into that, man. So, Perry, I guess what I ask you, man, let's give an overall thought of the spring game. What was your overall thoughts? Like, what did you leave the spring game and say, all right, this is how I feel?
So the instant reaction was FSU won. Like, FSU won the spring game, then did not lose. Like, and that right. Both means, like, they did not have to play a team. We had to watch them lose to a team. But also, mm-hmm. Jermaine Johnson was maybe the only sketchy part where you're like, oh, man, is he hurt? And he was just fine. Like, they were just holding him out as precaution. They're – pretty much everything we thought was going to be bad or average was bad or average. So, like, it's like, oh, man, it sucks to see that confirmed. Like, the linebackers are sketchy. Defense is, like, offensive line sometimes has no idea what was going on. But receivers look nice. Like, it wasn't even just, like, the freshmen were the only good ones. Like, all the receivers look pretty nice. The DBs, there's 30 of them, so they better have looked good. So they look good. The running backs look nice. Millwood wasn't broken. J-Trav looked good. Tate Rodemaker was there.
Tate Rodemaker was there.
Yeah. Tate Rodemaker was there. Yeah, no.
Tate finna take some not unnecessary, but Tate about to take some.
Tate earned it, man. Tate got yelled at all. Like,
dude, Tate took it. I think Tate could be a new Smag. Like, Smag is like God level for that Clemson game, but like if he can chill, he seems like he's good in the environment. That kid balls at practice. Like, he's a coach's kid. He understands the system and all that. So he's good there. But there.
But boy, when you put him with some fans in the stand, and you gotta take live bullets. Boy, he threw. I think I told Sam it was the worst interception. Maybe like a couple episodes ago, I said he threw the worst interception I think I've ever seen in my life. And then he topped it by throwing another interception that was just as bad. And I'm thinking to myself, all right, this dude here just can't play.
I feel bad. The Jacksonville State game, for him to get, like, hyped up and, like, everyone's like, oh, Tate the Great. And then, dude, he threw that pick six on the first drive, second drive, and I was like, oh,
that's the first.
Like, you're 18 years old, like, don't break him yet. Like, don't make him black men. Like, just let him chill out. Let him learn the system. When he comes in, he'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, fourth quarter.
Yeah. Man. I mean, he has a lot of growing to do. He has a lot of growing to do. I guess I say it like that. Sam, jump in, man. You were at the game. I watched it from my couch, man. Tell me a little bit what you thought about the spring game.
Okay. So if I went through it thinking I was going to be critical, but actually, I know everybody's like really hard on the offensive line. I didn't think the offensive line played as bad as everybody thinks, personally. I think Jermaine Johnson, while I don't think he's going to be this all-world defensive end, I do think that he fits the system a lot better than Kando and Robertson. So I think he's twitchy enough to do the things that Adam Fuller wants to do with that stand-up defensive end. You know what I'm saying? So I came away kind of impressed with Jermaine Johnson. Burrell also was somebody I came out impressed with because I thought that, and we'll get to it later, but watching him, I've been kind of harping on the point that I don't think he's a wide receiver on this level. I don't think he's fast enough, twitchy enough to be a wide receiver. But if you make him a move tight end, I think he can do a lot of damage in his offense, man. And we'll get into it, but I think they should definitely move him where they got Wyatt Rector playing at. I think that should be Burrell's spot, honestly. I think he need to grow into that spot. The defense, I still seen guys miscommunicating a little bit on the back end on a couple plays, a couple guys running wide open during the middle.
I was going to say the first touchdown to JT.
Yeah. Man. Yeah. I mean, nobody, but I don't want to. And you know, it wouldn't even be that big of a deal because it's spring, but it's like because we've seen that shit so much last year.
it hurts. It just remembers.
Yeah, it hurts a little bit. So but no, I thought overall they looked pretty clean. They looked like they knew what they was doing for the most part. And I like the Norvell's energy, to be honest with you. I like his energy. It seemed to me like he tried to stay out as much as he possibly can. And just kind of let the guys play, other than when he kept yelling at Rodemaker. So, you know, other than that, though, I didn't think it was that bad. Yeah, man. What you think, Brandon?
So, it's funny, right? And I think I tweeted yesterday. I said, their record is not going to indicate the improvement. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how I feel about it. Like, I don't feel like their win total at the end of the season is going to reflect the fact that they actually have improved. I do think they've gotten a lot more crisp in a lot of areas. I think they've shored up a lot of things that I think that they needed to shore up, but there's still some holes, right? And there's a big talent piece missing. Like outside of Burrell and a few and the young wide receivers, it's difficult to say, all right, we're going to put all our faith on the young wide receivers because freshman wide receivers normally don't really have that big of an impact because it's just different. And so when I'm looking at it, I'm saying, I can't read the comment.
I'm going to hold him till later.
I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get it on. Let it go. But, so, I mean, I looked at it and I said, all right, where did they really, you know what I mean? The freshman wide receivers flashed, and I thought that was very good because it says the future is brighter. You know what I mean? It says, okay, they are growing, they are moving into the right direction. But then I said, God, how can you really depend on freshmen to come in and have a huge impact on your team? And I think that's really bad. I thought the running backs, all of them looked average. Like all the running backs look average, and that was
Tom Finley looked pretty explosive to me. He looked explosive,
but again, he was third or fourth on that rotation. I've been saying since the beginning of last year, I thought Tom Finley was your best running back on the team. I thought he had the most upside, he had the better talent, and people said, well, he was too small to play running back. I said, okay, cool. So now you've seen him. He does look a little bigger as well. He's put on some weight. He does look a little bigger, but he's still somehow third or fourth behind Corbin, and it's like. I know they like Corbin. Corbin's a great workhorse, and you know, me and some other people got into it about why I don't, you know, how I feel about him. But Tua Philly is your true, in my opinion, home run threat. Corbin is not, and he never will be. Corbin's a bruiser. He'll get you some tough yards, and you need that player. But I think Tua Philly needs to be your feature back. But, I mean, I thought defensively, it's hard to tell with the front because I thought the offensive line play. I disagree with you, Sam, completely. I thought the offensive line played really, really bad. Tackles were non-existent. You know what I mean? I think, like, I don't know how good Jermaine Johnson's going to be, but I mean, he killed the tackles. I mean, wherever he killed the tackles. I mean, he looked like a superstar first rounder. I mean, if you go based off the spring game. So, I mean, they couldn't really run block either, which was something that was surprising to me because last year they did. Like, the one thing they did do well was run block. They didn't run block well. I know I've said a lot of negative, but I do think they've improved as far as just the execution of what they've done. You know what I mean? The execution and the overall impact. I do think they improved. It's just, I just don't see a lot of talent on the team, and that's gonna hurt them in the long run.
But I thought when you watched them on the offensive line, I mean, yeah, Jermaine Johnson was getting back there. I mean, I can't deny that, but I just thought it was. I thought they held up better than I initially thought they was going to hold up. That's what I was saying. I mean, I'm not saying they're good. I'm just saying they looked it better than what I thought they was going to. Because of the injuries.
I'm going to paraphrase what Sam said. So the bar was like, let me see my hand, was here, like right at the line. And so because they got here.
No, they didn't get that far up.
It was improved. Oh, okay, so they went from here to here. Okay, so I get what you're looking at. Okay, then that makes more sense. Okay, now I get why you see improvement.
Which is the thing we're talking about overall with my, like, it's night. Like, dude, you said even before, the records aren't going to show the improvement, but then it's like, why? Like, you get why. Like, you get why it doesn't work, but, like, in your mind, you're like, why isn't this team getting to where it needs to be? Like, why is the offensive line being average, being like, let's ride.
Right,
like,
right.
Again, like, offensive line, dude, they're depleted right now. Like, I think Norvell in the post game, like, he even told us, he was like, we weren't looking for success performance-wise this spring with the offensive line. We were looking for development. And, like, Norvell, Coach Big is like, yo, everyone's hurt. This shit sucks. Like, we're just making sure the freshmen get their reps, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But Jermaine Johnson, when they brought his name up, Mackenzie Milton and Jordan Travis were just like, they were over his ass. Like, there's stuff that he's on the team, but they, like, could not do anything when he was on the field. And that's what, once he went off, is actually when the offense even started doing anything. So, like,
But I mean,
that's, that was the reason why. Yeah, I think that's what took him off on it.
That's the reason why. What they could do without him wrecking him. And then, but you're right, dude, the talent too, all the talent that we saw on Saturday, freshmen or transfers, which sucks. Like, I mean, LT was there, Corbin was there, but Corbin,
I mean, Kevin
Knowles, dude.
I like Kevin Knowles.
That's a player after my heart because, dude, the way he was wrecking people during a spring game, like,
One
of the biggest things I saw with Kevin Knowles, and this is what made me kind of happy about it, was. How many times do we say, like, our guys just don't seem to recognize bubble screens the way our guys, you know what I mean? Like, when we run a bubble screen, they always seem to get back that quick diagnosis and make the play before our wide receivers get a chance to block. And we had never been able to do that. So to see him do it, like, multiple times, like, he recognized bubble screen, I'm going to beat the guy before he can even get to me, I thought was just flashes. He had the pick. I mean, it was a terrible throw. But he had an interception, was able to make the catch. I'll take it. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, Kevin Knowles, I thought
he made the catch.
But again, you're talking about a freshman. Yeah, you're talking about transfers. And those were all the guys who flashed. Which says to me, like I said, I think that's why I say, yeah, you can see they're going to be improved. It's just, I'm just not sure you're going to see them in the win total this year.
It's the year where, like, this team is what last year's team should have been. Because of all COVID, but we're past all the excuses. Like, I think even Norvell and stuff, they're like, we don't want to hear the excuses. Like, you heard this quote at the end of the game where it was like, everybody in the country talking about, like, we're going to be this. Like, I was like, I don't care about it. I want to see it.
Right.
So this is the year fans have been like, yo, 7 wins, 8 wins, it's over, it's game over. Like, that's a good achievement for this team. But, dude, the program has to be 9 or 10. Right. Not saying if he doesn't get that, fire his ass, but. 9 or 10 means that you won 1 or 2 games you weren't supposed to. You won all the ones you were.
Yeah.
And you blew out the bad teams. And I think that's what he wants. I think that's what he expects. And that's why he wasn't, like, patting himself or the team on the back after yesterday. They went out on the field, broke down every play that he said was garbage, and they redid it. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yeah. So let's get to the next question, B.
What I was going to say, I mean, we're still talking about the spring game, but, I mean, let's – I guess me and some other folks, and it may have been a debate on, I guess, all the timeline, but talking about the quarterback play, like, I know, and I guess I'm kind of torn between it, so I'm going to give you my thoughts last, but Perryman, tell us, I guess, who do you think coming out of just the spring game, not like in the future, and we can dive into that a little bit later, but I guess just from yesterday's performance, or the day before yesterday's performance, who do you feel was the better quarterback?
Dude, Milton was a game, and he hadn't looked like that in practice at all. Like, he had been kind of iffy. You even saw that at the beginning of the game. I think he'd just been nervous because the last time he was on the field, he almost lost his leg. So
yeah,
he was, like, underthrowing, dirtballing a few of them. But, dude, once he, like, kind of, like, started moving around and remembering, like, oh, I have a leg that can work, he started darting them. Like, he started placing them. And that's why I think, like, I don't think you've got, like, a typical one starting quarterback next year. Like, I don't want to call him Taysom Hill because that's disrespect to J-Trav, but, like, a Drew Brees, like, Taysom Hill combination with the two, like, change it back, leak Tebow. But even that's – I'd rather call him Taysom Hill than Tebow.
Yeah.
I think that's, like, that's what I want to see because there's no way Jordan Travis should not be on the field because he's just too good. Like, advanced analytics, like, dude, just the way that he elevates the game, the offensive line gets way better, everybody gets better. And then same with Milton. Milton knows how it's going. He's got the season bed. He's got 6 years. I don't even know how old that man's now. So, like, once he figures out the O, it's going to be nice. Like, things are clicking a little bit more for him. We saw how much better he is, like, when he's getting hyped by the fans. He's like a gamer. He loves that stuff, so – Milton was better. There's a chance if he figures it out completely, he's probably going to go into ND as a starter. But there's no way Jordan Travis is not on the field, like, at all.
Who do you think played better?
I think Milton, like, Jordan Travis. I think maybe consistently, because dude, from game, like, he was just looking comfortable, like, everything from game one. Like, Norvell was calling those sacks, like, pretty tight, so they weren't getting any leeway as far as there. JG probably would have taken off on a few.
Yeah,
but there was, like, the nice rollout. And I thought, like, Brendan was the one who pointed it out on Twitter, so I'll give him props there. But it's a bad throw. Like, the bad throw, he rolls out on the 3rd-and-1. He throws the ball to McClain. Like, not a good throw. Or Burrell, sorry.
You know what?
He threw a good throw.
Like, you know, they say decision, that.
Yeah.
They say it's not a good throw, but I always say that if the quarterback knows where the safeties are and knows where the linebackers are, I mean, because to me, he was throwing in an open space. No, I mean, we could say
it. Yeah,
those got picked off all last year.
I watched Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers do that shit all the time.
A lot of credit.
If you're the quarterback and you sprint out like that and you see the whole defense flowing with you,
and you
go to the tight end to open space, it's open space. That's my opinion.
It was a bad throw. It's a bad throw. It's a good throw.
Bad decision.
It's a bad decision. As a quarterback, you cannot do that. And if you do that more often, that will get picked more times than it becomes successful.
You can't do it because you're not going to see
that safety. But they did do it a lot. They did it a lot last season, and they all got picked off. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not the fact that they did it yesterday. It's the fact that we have seen that. We saw it all last season, and they kept getting picked off. The one time it worked was in the spring game against our defense. So how much credit are we going to give for that? And that's all I'm saying. Like, that's just my point. That, listen, I'm glad he made the throw. My opinion on the quarterback is very, very simple. Milton had the best throws of the day, like, period. The placement on the pass down the middle to, what was it, Burrell?
McClain, when he just accidentally was wide open.
The bootleg. No, the bootleg, like, designed bootleg where he threw it in between two guys down the middle of the field. I can't remember what it was. But the one to the sideline where Travis J was basically in perfect coverage and just the ball placement was better. Then the follow-up touchdown on the back shoulder. Both of those throws are tough, tough throws. And they were in the exact spot and the only spot they could have been to be completed. And he made those. Jordan made a lot of completed passes. He did. He was really good in the intermediate. He inched down the field. But, I mean, he missed open guys. And I think I told you yesterday, you know, when me and you talked on the phone, Sam, I said, our margin for error as a team is very small. Like, if you're talking about winning a lot of close games, that means you can't miss on wide open guys down the field. And he missed on a lot of deep guys. And I don't want to say a lot, but he missed on a few deep guys that were wide open. That could be a difference between 7 points or a field goal, which may be the difference in you being blowed out in the game or keeping it close, which gives you an opportunity to play later on. And Milton didn't miss on those. And so that's when I looked at it, I said, Milton was the better player yesterday. Now, I agree with you, Perry. I said, both got to play. Like, this line is terrible. And so if you're going to go behind this line, there's no way in the world Jordan Travis, like you're going to need Jordan Travis just to, because he does, like you said, it allows the defensive line on the opposing team to slow down a little bit, because now you know he going to take off on you. And not only is he going to take off on you, he can embarrass you too. So if you get in the open field, you're kind of a little hesitant, you know what I mean, to just kind of get up field real quick. So it does slow down and it helps the offensive line. So Jordan Travis has to play. But in my opinion, I mean, you need Mackenzie Milton as well, because you need somebody to hit on those deep balls. And like you said, it is very much, you know, Steve Spurrier, you know, two quarterbacks. One is coming in to throw the ball, and you might know it, but you still can't stop it. And one is coming in to kind of run the ball most of the time. And I'm fine with it. You know what I mean? Because, again, if everybody knows what it – I watched Steve do it successfully, you know, for a lot of times. And again, it's, you can know that one is coming in the pass and one is coming in the throw, but you still have to have the ability to stop. And I'm not sure if you can, I'm not sure they can see that. What's up, Wayne? I see Wayne is in the building. I appreciate it. What's going on, Wayne?
Oh, Melon is going to be scrambling a lot. And that's right, because you're right. Like, the reason the margin of error showed up last year when Jordan Travis would get hurt and either get out of the game or was limping, because like it instantly became unwatchable football. So, like, the fact that you can switch out Milton and Travis now. And Geno English.
Geno English.
No, but he threw the game-winning touchdown. But like you're right. Like, it's just a change of pace. Like, both players are comfortable with the other play. Like, there's no – I mean, as far as they're presenting. I mean, last year they told us the team was bought in, and then we saw half the players transfer. But they seem like they're very good friends. Like, they seem legitimately, like, dapped up. Like, they're tapped in. They kind of know what the vibe is, like. So it's a good partnership.
Yeah, I think the quarterback position is the best place it's been at in a very, very long time.
Now you're right about that. We're talking about good problems.
Having
the ability to have a guy who both guys who we feel comfortable, you know, playing is a good problem.
Right. So with that, I think that you can build your offense around two guys that you know exactly what they're gonna do. Right, you know that Jordan Travis can run the read option. He can throw. I mean, I don't think he have a great deep ball throwing arm, but those intermediate touch passes, Jordan Travis to me he looks way better than he looked last year with that type of stuff, man.
Oh, yeah,
so
much improved.
And even with Milton, like I said, Jordan Travis stays hurt a lot. So like getting Milton was always a good thing because Jordan Travis does get hurt. So. I think the quarterback just is in a good place, man. It's the reason why I think maybe I can move my win total up by one game, because I do feel like it's a chance because last year when Jordan Travis got hurt, dude, that it was over. Like, it was just, he was dead in the water.
He just hurt, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he got hurt on a series, it was over. You know what I'm saying? Like, the series was over. So they're in a good place with that situation, man. But let's get to the wide receivers, because I thought that was the most fascinating position was the wide receivers.
Yep, I agree. Perry, go ahead, man. Kick us off on the wide receiver group, because I agree with
the interesting, because we heard all spring, like we heard Malik McClain, Josh Brown, we're like, why are these two freshmen the only people we're hearing about? And even at practice, like, it was the same way. You're like, I expect to see more out of dude, especially Keyshawn Helton, who's still there. Like, he's got an experience, like, he knows the ground, he knows how to make plays. You know, in my opinion, during the spring game, it was like, oh, it's because McClain and Burrell are good. Like, that's the reason we're talking about them so much. Like, they're actually very talented, because Brian Robinson made a few, like, really good plays. Kentron Poirier made some great plays. Like, they were dropping easy balls. Like, you saw, like, where that frustration has been, because throughout spring, like, receivers dropping balls has been, like, the main thing. Like, they get open. They're fast. They can do it. Like, they got the depth. Running backs, wide receivers and DBs, like, FSU has 5,000 of them. So,
right.
The talent's there. So it's not like it was good seeing the younger players make plays. Like, it sucked that we didn't see Ontario Wilson doing as much as we were hoping during the like punt stuff, like the little like mini game, like Madden drill. It was like they were making plays, but how hard is it to beat two DBs when you have two blockers? So receivers are like moderately a concern, especially after last year. Like, last year we had big expectations,
right?
And then, I mean, Terry was in his feeling, like, it's okay. Like, I was actually really happy that he was at the spring game. Like, that was a really good sign to me. And then he was back and, like, in tally for that. So,
right.
That's a whole other point. Anyways, receivers, like, questionable. receive waters of the freshman look very nice.
So I think people are a little too down on the receivers. I actually feel good about the receivers going into the season. I think Parchman's going to be your number one. Yeah, right. I think he's going to be your number one. And I think Norvell does this thing where he does a lot of volume shots to one receiver. So you're not going to see all these receivers. You're not going to see the ball being distributed to all these receivers. Like, a lot of this is going to be him isolating Parchman wherever he want to isolate him at and getting him the football. But if you're going to tell me that Ontario Wilson, Brian Robinson, and possibly – and you got Cam McDonald.
Yeah.
Cam McDonald. And I think you're going to see some – and I really do believe Josh Rowe is going to be that move tight end type guy for you. I think you're in a good position right there. I think that's an explosive group because Ontario Wilson, if you go back and look at the season last year, he did a lot of isolating with Ontario Wilson last year. Ontario Wilson did make plays last year. I don't recall him dropping a lot of balls either. I remember the North Carolina game specifically where he made a lot of big plays in that game. Mm-hmm. So I feel like if Parchman is who I think Parchman is, I think you're more explosive this year than what you was last year.
Oh, definitely.
That's my opinion. And then you add in the quarterback play is going to be much better. I actually like what they got. And I think Brian Robinson looked good to me. Like, I was like, okay, that's the guy that people was calling a four-star guy that was a big deal. You know, I think people was a little too high last year on Poitier and some of those guys. I think you got to look at your blue-chip guys and see how they're developing. I think Brian Robinson looked good, man. I mean, he looked really good to me. Like, getting off the line, his routes looked good. And I think Helton is just a victim of a coaching change. And now he's in a scheme that he's just not good in. And I mean, all this trying to jet sweeps with him and shit, that it's just not going to work, man. It's just not who he is, man. And coming off a bad knee injury, trying to make him run like a running back, I just don't think it's good for him. But I do feel really good about the receiver position. I think I might be higher on a receiver position than everybody else, to be honest with you.
I'm gonna start, I guess, where you ended at. I don't understand the role Keyshawn Helton is in right now. I guess because we've seen him play in so many different roles. You know what I mean? We've seen him play like in different roles. Like you said, it may be just a coaching thing. Like, he just doesn't fit this scheme or whatever. But whatever it is, I mean, what they have him doing, I know it just can't be.
The thing about it though, Mike like to put the big receivers in the inside. And he like to create matchup with the big receivers in the inside. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem with that is when you put Helton to the outside, I mean, he has nothing to do, dude. And then you run the jet sweep with him, and the defense is like, well, if you give him the football, that's not a problem. We can tackle him. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't really care about him being on the jet. And it's just like, Keyshawn is the type of dude that need to be matched up on the slot. In that fine holes in the defense, and let him run. In this offense, he's just not. It's like, I'm not gonna say he need to. I'm not gonna say he. I want him to transfer, but I do think it'd be better for both parties if he did transfer because he's just not gonna be good in his offense. I just don't envision it. I don't see it. And I'd like Keyshawn. I think Keyshawn is a dynamic player, dude. I really do.
Yeah, that's what bothers me. That's what bothers me about it, because I actually like Keyshawn as a player, and so the fact that I do think he's being misused bothers me a little bit. But I'm higher on the wide receivers than what I thought I would be going into the game. Like I said, I'm wary of freshmen when you're trying to allow them to make, you know what I mean, to be difference makers, especially when it comes to the when we get to the regular season. I think it's going to be difficult. They all flashed. And so I got to take, you know what I mean? They could have been the opposite, right? They all could have, like, the old receivers could have played poorly and the freshmen could have been terrible. They didn't. All of them flashed. I agree. Parchman comes in. That brings a different element. So now what you're looking at is a very young receiver core. Hopefully they can make enough plays. They can make some plays. I do agree. Burrell, flashed. Robinson, great routes. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. we've talked about how terrible we thought the enemy guys ran routes, and how terrible. Matter of fact, we talked about Terry. As much as we love Terry, we said Terry never ran good routes. Like, you know what I mean? So when we talk about him going to the next level, we're saying he's going to need to learn how to run good routes. He never did. He was never in the right position. He made plays, but he was never actually where he needed to be or where he should have been. He took plays off and stuff like that. That's one thing I don't think I saw from the receiver group. I didn't see a lot of wide receivers taking plays off. I didn't see a lot of guys, you know, loafing. So it says to me that, okay, we got a new group of guys who are energetic, who are hungry, who want to make plays. And so even if they're not great this year, just because they're freshmen, it's going to be tough, I can say, all right, well, sophomore, junior season, we get it with a very, very good team. Like, and we talked about it again as well, adjusting expectations. As opposed to looking at it and saying, okay, we're going to win. Let's give them six games. Let's just give them six. I had them like four or five wins. Let's say I give them six games because of, you know, some improvements or whatever. So I give them six games. I'm not going to be as down on six games as some other people would be. Because, again, no, it's not Florida State standard. But at the same time, I can see kind of where they're building towards and where they're headed towards, especially if this 21 class continues to come in the way they did. And we'll get to that, I guess, now.
Hold on. Before we get there, I want to talk about this too, because as we talk about these receivers, like Malik McClain, look how good he looked. Now, I don't expect Malik McClain to be Jerry Jeudy or any of those Bama freshman receivers that come in.
Yeah, but I do think by the Clemson guys.
For the Clemson guys, but I do think by game six, game seven, that, I mean, they could be nice off-pitch guys when you're not getting the ball to Parchman. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think they're way more twitchy and way more – it's way more speed out there and way more explosive than what they was last year, man. I thought last year at the receiver position they were slow, and when they did get open, they couldn't catch the ball because every ball was contested because they couldn't get open.
They made tough catches. We watched receivers Saturday make tough – like that, again, that first pass to Milton Threw. That Milton Threw was a contested – like Travis J was all over. And it was a perfect placement on the ball, and but the receiver still had to go and make a play.
So, Perry, what do you think about?
We didn't see that last year.
Perry, what do you think about that receiver group as far as those guys? Like, what do you think about them? Like,
no, I thought you made some great point. Like, and the fact that Burrell and McClain have been on campus since January and they're already like looking that good. It's just they have the natural talent. Like, they definitely have to. Same with Kevin Knowles. Like, they have developed physically wise, like body wise, but it's there. Like, it's clicking for them. And it's great. Like, it's great that the people that we've been talking about as looking good have been the guys that Norvell has brought in. Like, it is almost more annoying because then you almost want to lean more into, oh, man, if COVID, like, oh, man, if they had a full spring, oh, man, if they had a full camp. Like, we would have seen maybe what we saw on Saturday, which was, like, consistent execution, consistent, like, attention to detail. Dude, the Willie haters are going to love this. They were playing music the whole time. I didn't see anybody dancing. I didn't see, like, even during, like, when they took things off and, like, they stopped doing the actual game and they were doing the mini drills. Like, dude, they were playing bangers. Knuck if you butt. Like, they had DMX playing the whole time. Like, I wasn't, like, doing that in the pre- I have no idea how they weren't even, like, dancing. Like,
yeah.
So just – and it's not, like, dictatorship either. Like, I keep saying, like, Mike is, like, the stepdad who makes you call him Mike, but, like, he still, like, respects you.
Right.
Like, Willie was your dad, or no, Jimbo was your dad. Willie was the cool stepdad who never married your mom. Now, so that's what, like, Mike, dude, he's a dork, he's mean, but like, he's invested. Like, the players actually dig him. Like, you saw him at the house party, dude, he had a mechanical bull in his garage. Like, he's a weird dude, but like, the kids like it. Like, he's invested. Like, so I like what's moving forward. The receiver room itself, like, yeah, the bar has been raised. Like, the floor of that talent room is just up. Like, it sucks that Terry's gone. He's very talented, but you mentioned it. Like, he was, like, boom or bust. Like, it was touchdown or he dropped it. I'd love to see Helton do more. Like, it seemed like he got lost a little bit last year outside of being in punt return. But even now, that's Travis J spot. So I would love for Helton to find his role. I'd love for him to reemerge into things, but, like,
well, he was a good kick returner. Maybe we put him back at kick return.
He's still back there. He's the vet. Like, he can calm him down. He can be like, yo, don't run out the end zone. Stuff like that. Like, he's still speedy. He was still returning punts like during that. Like, he still got it. I just hope he can find his, like, spate because through the talent there, like you said, there's just so many players. And he does rotate people in. Dude, Parchment's coming in. Destin Hill's still coming in, who's, like, going to maybe be the best freshman receiver, which is crazy to say, seeing how good these two are.
Right. All right, so let's we can get to the next one, Brandon, about recruiting.
All right. So, I mean, we have a ton of players on campus. Partly, I think, because, well, they made it a lot seem like, you know, nobody else was playing, you know, college football on Saturday, except for Florida State. But, I mean, I think when they talked about it on the broadcast, Miami wasn't hosting recruits. They're not hosting recruits at their spring game, and neither is Florida. So it did benefit in getting a lot of players, because if they want to see a spring game, this is the only one they can go to in the state. That helped us. We ended up with a whole lot of guys on campus, a lot of blue chip talent, but not really the, I guess, commitment. I think a lot of people estimated 4 or 5, you know, 6 commitments will come out of the spring game. I saw a lot of reports saying that, you know, they expected at least, you know, I mean, at least four, but from what we understand, that's not what the numbers look like. Perry, I guess, you know, talk a little bit, I guess, about the recruiting, the visit as a whole, the spring game recruiting list, and just, why didn't we get more? You know, why haven't there been more? Yeah, why haven't there been more? Like, we want to see, you know, I don't know who we're trying to get, but, you know, we want to see something.
Yeah. But that's, I think, yeah, Kendall from the comic, 1 3-star over the weekend, because that's 100-plus kids in the stands, dozens of blue chips, like Travis Hunter, like, tweeting, being like, oh, I got more. I got a few in the back. Like, the expectations were there. Like, you thought, like, something was going to happen at the Unconquered statue. Like, Nico had the pull. So, again, right. Dude, it's like the same consistent thing. Like, it sucks. Everything, like, wow, all this looks great, but the results aren't there. Like, we didn't get any of the commitments. But it's April. Like, it's the first, like, couple weeks of April. So, it's, like, kind of, like, ruining the expectations there. Some of these kids see an FSU and Mike Norvell staff for the first time. They didn't even get to talk to the coaches. They couldn't interact with them at all. Yeah, they definitely did not
get a chance to talk to the coaches.
Definitely did not walk around the locker room and then talk to every single one of the old players were there. But actually, but even then, the attention to detail, Norvell sent like a letter out to all the like alum that were coming and be like, do not talk to the recruits. Like, this is what we do. This is how we don't get Odell Beckham. Like, don't throw out money.
Yeah.
So just like.
I will say that. Recruits did not show up to tailgates, and former players was not at tailgates talking to those recruits. I will say that.
That did not happen.
Definitely did not happen.
No interaction whatsoever. But like it was great to see all the kids. The energy was there. It sucked that it was raining all day.
Yeah, that did suck.
That was like, oh man, you can't even go out and enjoy Tallahassee, which you should be doing masked up. You should be going out in Tallahassee. But, like, yeah, no, those kids getting on campus and seeing it was very nice, but the fact that only one commit happened when, like, we were like, oh, 3 to 4. We had a few like, definitely we were expecting more, at least this weekend. We still expect more, like, as the summer and spring continue. There are definitely players that are invested and want to happen. Silent commits, I see the Hector said, like, we were talking before the show, like, silent commits exist, but until, dude, it happens, I've just been lied to too many times. I've been ghosted too many times. So I don't trust that.
Well, you know what happens is a kid don't want to tell a coach, no, I'm not.
Yeah, how are you going to tell like a 40-year-old, like, yeah, I'll promise you, like, you're going to have the world. Like,
yeah, I got this 40-year-old man with no shirt on begging me to please stay, please come, you know. Who says no to that? But I think that it's weird because – I didn't think we're gonna get commits out of the 22 class, but I did think that the 23 and 24 class, I thought those kids would kind of file in and commit. I thought we would get 1 or 2 out of the 22, and I thought we would get 3, maybe 1, maybe 2 out of the 23, and maybe 1 and maybe 2 out of the 24. That did actually surprise me, actually. And maybe that's because they couldn't get in front of the kids and talk to them. Yeah, some of
that. It's something that Norvell and their staff also do. Like, they don't, like, push kids to commit, like, on the spot. Like, they don't just want, like, the clout of the commit, like, right then. Like, even if they think a kid's not going to come, they'll be like, listen, like, come for your visit. Come do your thing. But, like, if you don't want to come, like, don't even bother with it. So, this is why, like, the Altmaier thing was so weird. Like, that's why they were just, like, that was an out-of-nowhere one. Like, they keep their kids. Like, that class stays intact. So that is maybe a little bit more of my thinking. They're like, yo, like, just don't fall in love with the campus. We know the, like, Flaming Spear is beautiful, but hold off. Like, take your visits. Dead period's going to be over soon. And then commit.
I mean, let me ask, is that the right approach though? Because there is something to recruiting momentum, right?
Yeah.
I think if you come out of the spring game and you get 4 or 5 commits, and one of the listeners talked about, you know, having solid commits. Great. You know what I mean? Sometimes you might need that, like, especially in Florida State, and like I said, for a team that we think probably is looking at six wins or so, it's kind of like, how are we – you kind of want positive spin. You want it – like, when you get 100 kids on there, if you tell me we get 6 verbal, not solid commits, but we get 6 commits coming out of the spring game, now, look, you know what I mean? It does create a sense of a buzz that's your program's turning it around. So – I know Mike, and we've heard this in the past, he doesn't really push for it. He wants to make sure you're 100% solid and you're not going to flip later on. But is that the right approach necessarily to say that, you know, hey, I know y'all may want to commit, but, you know, no big deal. Just kind of take it on your own time. Because I'm not sure if it is. Just because of our specific situation. I don't know what, you know, Bama can do what they want to do, other schools can do what they want to do. I'm talking Florida State's been down for a little while now. We've had really bad recruiting classes and it hasn't shown very much on the field. It's something that I think that, you know, maybe that should be something that they think about. Hey, look, let's get some of these kids recruited.
That's a really good, like, that the whole time I was going, oh, damn, that makes sense. Like, you're right, because there was so much talk the whole weekend, like to the point that the coaching staff is making jokes like, I will be attending Florida State spring game. Like, it was the meme of the recruiting world. And then if you get 4 or 5 commits, like, it keeps going. But then if you get into the summer, like, when it all dies down, like, we see what, like, high school kids, like, we see what happens in the summer. Like, they all break up. Like, they get disinterested in everything. Like, you were like – so I really don't know. Like, that's a good point. Like, dude, if they – knocked out 5 commits over like 3 classes this last weekend, like, everybody's talking about it. Everybody's like, oh, should I slide to tally? Like, all of that.
Yeah.
And but you then, know, do they all decommit after Notre Dame blows FSU out like 48-0?
Yeah. I mean, but
that's a possibility regardless. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are all possible. You know what I mean? Like, this, we said it last year, the season was going to determine how well they can recruit. And this year is no different. They have to show some improvement. They can't rattle off another 3-win season and get any recruits regardless of who they have. You know what I mean? They're going to lose guys regardless, except for maybe Hunter, who's in regardless.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, he's the only guy. Yeah, he's in. But everybody else, I imagine, you know, if you have you pull up another 3 wins, you're going to run into the same situation.
That, I don't know, man. It's so tough, man. So they said the recruiting dead period is going to be over on June 1st. And I guess my big thing is FSU needs to get into a head start, you know, what these other programs get in front of these other programs, because, you know, once the big dogs are coming. I mean, that's just what it is. So I don't know, man. It's tough because you don't want to see a flurry of decommits, right? You don't want to be Miami where you get kids to commit and they're not really committed. And then you look like trash later. And then all these kids are leaving. But, man, I don't know, man. That is tough. I don't know. I don't know the right way to do that.
I'm not going to make the decision for real. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. That's on Bartow. I'm not figuring that shit out.
Yeah, Bartow can take care of that. Bartow's been a pretty big big addition, too, man. He's done a good job.
Dude, that's a heat. Like, just having somebody who knows what's going on and, like, is maneuvering, like, No offense to Lockett, but like, this the difference in like high school interaction and engagement since like Bardot came in. That's like, it's just been next level. So it's been great to see.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. So are we disappointed with the one commit? Or I mean, how do we feel like coming out the weekend? Like,
I
can tell you, for me personally, I'm disappointed. I wanted more, I expected more, and I think momentum is very important for this. This team specifically, like you said, you need to get ahead of some of these guys. I'd much rather have you committed, and then we gotta, you know, show and prove why you committed and why your commitment was right, than to, you know, not, you know what I mean, to not have you in the fall and then Bama wins another championship or whoever, you know what I mean, like whoever it is. Louisville has a better season. I mean, we're not up against a lot of top tier schools. We're up against Wake and stuff like that. But Wake may be better than you. So, you know what I mean, like, you don't want to be. I think I'd much rather have us in that fold and lose a tight one to Wake and then say, all right, I can see it. I mean, it was a tough game. They lost, but I'm still committed to Florida State or whatever. Then to have this guy torn between the two and we go out and lose Wake Forest. That's just kind of – I'd much rather put them ahead than from behind. Like I said, that's my disappointment.
I got another question for Perry. MJ Morris and Duffy. What do you think happens with that situation?
It's weird because, like, if you're a quarterback, you're thinking, I'm the guy. Like, if I'm going somewhere, I need to be the guy. But then the transfer portal, like, makes everything bad. Like, if they have this good relationship with Mike, if they think maybe they can beat out Nico, then I would imagine, like, at least one of them would commit. I would expect one to commit because I think this staff is too, like, PTSD from Altmyer last year. Like, there's no way they're just rolling with one high school quarterback.
Right.
So I think maybe it's the same situation, like Norvell just being like, chill, take your time. We're not going to like go after you too hard because maybe they tried too hard for loot. Like maybe like Dilly was trying way too hard and be like, yo, I'll pay for dinner. Come on, man. We can go to the movies. We can go on vacation. Come on. Come on. Don't break up with like straight. Like, so he could have just been pushing way too hard trying like. They might just be feeling out what the best approach is as far as quarterback. They got their one good quarterback in the fold. He seems like pretty like – I don't – it's hard to judge because, again, like the last year we said it, the whole team was bought in. We said Luke was in, like the bell cow. But dude, Nico's in. Like he pulled all those kids to the Unconquered statue. He got everybody going. So maybe there's a little like let Nico have his weekend. I'm not going to commit and like make things weird.
So, okay. So I guess, so who do they prefer? MJ Morris or Duffy?
I don't want to speak for any of them. Cause I'm not even like the big recruiting guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Cause there's way people way smarter than me. As far as I think I like Morris more.
Mm-hmm.
Like Duffy, I think, could have committed at any point. I think they've been kind of like stringing. Same with Morris, actually. Like, I think both of them, they're letting figure themselves out. And I think they would take either one in a second. But I personally, I like Morris's game a little bit more.
So I guess my thing would be with the Morris and Duffy thing. So I put on the timeline that if all three wanted to commit, I would take all three. I don't personally, and I know people's like, that's just way too many scholarships going to one position. But my opinion is that you guys are going to leave anyway.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Guys are going to leave anyway. And personally, I feel like I think the staff feels like they missed on Rodemaker and Chuppa. Now, that's my opinion. I'm not putting that in about it. I'm not saying Norvell told me that. I don't know that to be a fact. I just feel like.
Sam, let me ask you this. Like, hold on. Do you believe they missed on Rodemaker and Chuppa?
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like they had.
They're smart enough to know that they missed on Rodemaker and Chuba. I mean, we've seen a lot.
Yeah.
Chuba wasn't at the game. I mean, so let's just go ahead and chalk that up as a miss. And Rodemaker again got yelled at the whole spring game. Right. I mean, he's a career backup. So I mean, yeah, you got to bring in some people to replace the guys that you didn't.
I think the Luke thing really hurt them because I think the miss on Chubb and Rodemaker wouldn't have been a big deal if they would have got Luke, right? Yeah. They'd have been fine. They'd have been like, we'll let McKenzie and we'll let Jordan Travis kind of play the string out for the next year and a half, put some weight on Luke, and we'll be ready and we'll keep recruiting quarterbacks. But I think losing Luke really hurt them. And so if it was me, I would try to take all three. If I could take all three, the interesting thing with MJ Morris, in my opinion, is going to be Georgia Tech hasn't really like completely cut the heat up yet. And that's a really good recruiting staff. So that's going to be tricky because Jeff Sims is at Georgia Tech. He's going to be a true sophomore next year coming up. So by the time MJ Moore steps on campus, Jeff Sims will be a true junior. So, you know.
They can get his ear and be like, they didn't want Jeff Sims.
Yeah, it's gonna be.
They beat their ass in Doe Campbell.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of negative recruiting going on.
We've had that conversation.
Yeah, it's gonna be a lot of negative recruiting going on there. And you know, whatever you believe about that recruitment is what you believe. But I'm just saying it's gonna be negative. So I don't know. Like I'm concerned about that situation because I don't know if you should. If you don't feel like Morris wants to come, you shouldn't be trying to beg him to come because I think he could play you along the stream for a lot longer than what Duffy would, right? I think he could push this thing way down where you're out of the competition for certain quarterbacks, and then he commits to Georgia Tech anyway. So, I mean, I that's something I think they really need to evaluate, because everybody feels good about Morris, but my thing is, elite quarterbacks commit. They commit and they be locked in. They don't wait that long. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, I don't know. We got to see about that. That's going to be a tricky one.
June.
I wouldn't let Morris play me down the road, though. I give him a hard drop, and then if he, you know, don't come in on a hard drop, I think I'll move on, because I think that could be kind of one of those things where you get it stuck to you a little bit, you know, if you allow it, you know. So
I'm just gonna agree. No, I don't have anything on the quarterbacks. Listen, man, I told you my problem with the. I've already had the conversation with the recruitment. And
yeah, we're not gonna get back into the Jeff
I'm not getting back into that. I feel like you mishandled that situation from the beginning. You could right now have Jeff Sims, and I'm not. When I get him, that's a sore topic. The one we have Adam Fuller for you, so I'm gonna skip out on this.
This QB conversation. Hey, Pear, it's two things that throws this podcast off every single time. Jeff Sims. And Adam Fuller. If you talk about Jeff Sims,
and they
Adam
seem
Fuller,
to bring it up every single episode, we find a way to get back into this Jeff Sims conversation.
Oh, I can throw it off the rails
when
right
they
now.
First were talking, when they first started talking about making this decision, we did a podcast that said, "Don't do that. That's a bad decision. This kid's from Jacksonville. We know it's QB coach. We dove deep into it. Don't do this." And they still did it. And then we've now seen what's going on. I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this with you, Sam. I'm not diving back down this road, because we've had this conversation, but it was a mistake. We now watch Rotomaker throw the same dumbass interception. Literally, we watch all these same dumbass interceptions, and Chubba Purdy is nowhere on campus. Like, come on, man. Like, that's a mistake. They know it's a mistake. You know it's a mistake. We all know it's a mistake. Y'all should have got Jeff Sims, regardless of what you feel about him. He is available. The best ability is availability. Take and throw them. Listen, the same interceptions that Jeff Sims is throwing. Take throwing them. You know what?
All right. Hey, Jeff won a game in Doak, so.
Yes, he did.
He
won a third in Norvell's games. But no, I mean, seriously, like, I think I would have taken Chuba. I just did based off like what I knew at the time. I don't know if I would have been at – I'm telling you, that game, though, that season opening game, I was like, that was terrible. But as far as, like, bringing in bodies, I think you do – if you can bring in three, you bring in three. Three out of the last 4 years, you haven't brought in a high school quarterback, too.
Yeah.
And then the only other quarterback you brought in the year before was Alex Hornibrook. So, it's just gross. So, over there –
it's just gross.
It's just gross. That can be the name of this pot. Like, that can be the title. Like, it's just gross.
That's what it is. It's just gross. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. I mean, listen, man, bring in all the quarterbacks, everybody. Hopefully all commit, and then we can figure out who's the best one, and then that's the person who plays. But all this, you know, but when you have guys in the tuck who want to come, who, you know, who love your program from a big time school, you got to take them. And that was a mistake.
But then I'll bring up Adam Fuller, because I ride for Adam Fuller.
Hold on. You ride for Adam Fuller?
I ride for Adam Fuller.
You ride for Adam Fuller? Why?
I'm not taking the bait. Nope, I'm not taking the bait. I'm not taking the bait.
I'm about to meet Brandon. why do you ride for Adam Fuller?
I think
don't worry about it. I'm muted, Brandon. So you can
He knows what he's doing more than like people. Like, when he's dropping those deep, like, people back on like third and long, they're not always dropping back into coverage. Sometimes it's his own, but like, he definitely makes I don't want to see Jermaine Johnson dropping into coverage. That Oh, shit, why do I have an alarm? because I usually don't wake up for like another 2 hours. But did the post tweet where he's like, the first time Fuller drops Jermaine Johnson into coverage, like, it's gonna hurt me when I see it, but like,
it's happening.
That deep, like,
can we add pictures to the screen?
I'm just gonna put the screenshot up.
I had to mute Brandon again because I know how he will with his Adam Fuller talk. I had to mute him, bro.
I don't think.
Oh no, I gotta mute myself. It's okay. Listen, so I want to see. So that I don't know if there's a way we can do this on YouTube, because as he's talking about this, I want to just have that picture up in the screen of that, like, third and goal where everybody's in the end zone. Yeah, I just want to have that picture as he's talking about, like, Adam Fuller and these good decisions. Because every time I think about Adam Fuller, that's what I think about, is that picture where all the linebackers and safeties are guarding the back of the end zone for some reason. Third and goal.
That's what I think of when I think of FSU defense for the last, like, 6 years, honestly. Because I've seen that stupid-ass cushion on third and long for so long. And I've seen Charles Kelly dropping Brian Burns in a cut, like, so I'm sick of it. All of the stuff that FSU D coordinators have been doing that I hate, I just wish he would stop with that.
But you know, our Tutu Atwell, you know, we call it all out blitz, and we put our cornerbacks 15 yards off to give, you know, one of the fastest men in the country a free release while we blitzed everybody else. And for some reason, you know, he scored on 3rd and 38 or some crazy stuff like that. Like, I remember that happened.
Like his decision.
Like, I know the players that decided to do that themselves. Like, this,
Sam's dying.
But I'm just saying, like,
I agree. That's what, like,
I
where's that?
Like, I'll pay myself.
He's freezing because he's.
All right.
But
this,
no, that's
this
what
is
I
who
think
we got on the quarter.
He makes questionable like, no question. Like, you can't – if he has the same performance this year, I think Mike's got to be like, yo, homie, like
– But I'm saying, though, what is it about him that you – I'm curious. I'm not
– Oh, I think as a coach, like, more than just – like, he knows how to execute. Other than, like, in the game. Like, I think at one point during the season, they were like, fuck this. We're preparing for next year. Like, this is not matter. Like,
well, I think
let's figure it out.
I definitely think they started doing that a lot earlier in the season.
We talked about that.
Yeah, the secondary, like, poor Asante was giving it his all. Like, Nasruddin was out the whole year. Like, they weren't even, like, I don't even know why Hamstall even tried to play. Like, good on him. Like, great guy for doing that. But, I mean, now you got 100% Jerrion Jones just, like, talking to shit in postgame. He's like, yeah, I feel good. Like, I feel great. Like, I didn't feel good last year. I feel great now. Like, you brought in 30,000 transfer DBs and recruit. Like, the only question to me right now on D, like, linebackers, which was miserable last year too. Moving Gaynor into where he should be is great, and that's actually a reason why I like Fuller, because last year fall camp he goes, we're gonna get Amari training here, but his real position is where we're gonna move him next. Like, we're gonna get him figured out, because his true strength is rushing the passer. Like, that is his number one thing that he needs to do, go create havoc. And they didn't do that in 2020 because of just how things folded out. Like, they were like, God, we need to either start developing players or not get blown out. They were not worried about winning at a certain point, it seemed like.
Right.
And I think even playing Blackman. I think playing Blackman, when J-Trav came and got hurt, like, I think that was we're scared. Like, we're just trying to, like, go. Like,
yeah.
That was, like, a questionable move.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We talked about it. We said they did a lot of – they were doing scrimmages. Yeah, they were doing basically live scrimmages. And
which sucks.
I mean, I was going to say, I didn't necessarily think that was a great approach, you know what I mean, at Florida State. It's difficult for you to tell your fan base to, hey, come watch your scrimmage live. knowing that we have no chance to win, we're not even trying to win, we're not really executing anything, we're just trying to see what we have.
No, that's what the spring game for.
That is.
Yeah.
They now But still, it was, you know, it was a whole lot of evaluation. We don't know what we have. We're going to have to try to figure it out. All right, let's try to figure it out on the field. And it was like, I don't know if that's the best, you know, if that's the best approach. Go out and try to win every game regardless. You know what I mean? Do it your way and stick to it. So that was kind of – that bothered me a little bit. But that's – again, that's last year. They played the spring game. They see what they got. We've seen some improvements. I ain't going back there. My take on Fuller is what I've seen, and I don't think good coaches call some of the plays that he called. But –
as long as that's the only approach I can ever have with anything, prove me wrong. Because I don't care. I love being wrong. Right. I love when people tell me I'm a dumbass.
The funny thing about it is we talk about it, right? Like, we love Florida State. We're just one of the most honest podcasts because we treat everybody the same. We, like, if it's trash, we tell you it's trash. If it's good, we tell you it's good. So if we see positive, we're gonna tell you, hey, we saw positive. Like, that's just kind of who we are. That's what this podcast is about, and that's what it's always been about since we first started. So, I want to be wrong. I hope Fuller is great. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just telling you what I've seen doesn't give me a lot of hope. So listen, he goes out there, they have top 10 defense. I'd be happy to say, hey man, Fuller's the guy. Do your thing, because that means we don't want some games. You know what I mean? Like, we always want Florida State to win. I don't care about being right.
Dude, like, I know people don't have friends who get mad at sports the same way when I see people freak out over like being mad at the team. Like, dude, I get texts two plays in the game sometimes being like, fire this entire staff. And then like 10 plays later be like, yo, Natty. So like anybody who like who can't have that discussion on the timeline and like can't like contextualize like the fact that you can be pissed off about everything, but then like if they win, be like, that's right. Like right. It's the funniest thing in the world to me. Like yeah. I don't know
how they do it.
No, it's a fun dude. And then the funniest thing is like the dark side when they like put their fake positive tweets up and everybody's like, yeah, 6 wins, baby. So like, like those men are terrorists, but they're funny. Like,
It's the art of the troll. It's like, I've talked to Post and Grind. We've had them on the podcast actually. And, they're actually very rational people, to be honest with you.
Twitter. People just don't realize it's Twitter. That's the funniest part. Like,
yeah.
If you knew like, who they were, you want to quote tweet their tweets when they're like, yeah, baby, 6 wins. We got this. And they're like, yeah, I believe in Mike. And they're like, no, they're saying 6 wins is bad.
completely missed the jokes. Yeah.
But like they recognize when like stuff's going. Like that's the thing. Like if anything, to me, the people who like Peach troll is hilarious. Right. But like people have taken on his like positive troll to like an actual degree. Like people have built up themselves to be like, we're gonna rep like every single thing FSU does is the best thing in the world. And
right.
We had Pizzo last week. Yeah. We had Pizzo last week. He was 100% honest with us. Like he told us what it is. I mean, but
yeah, it's no, just Peach is the boy.
We had Peach Bear Soul last week, man. We just broke him down eventually. We just kept hitting him, and then finally he was like, I don't know, man. I just got a root for him. I don't see much, but I just got a root for him.
Dude, that's the epitome of Willie. Like, dude, I had a ride for Willie until the Miami game. Until like finally, like they finally be like, oh, all right, like I guess I was wrong. Cause I knew I was wrong the whole time.
Yeah.
But dude, even everybody on the beat, as soon as Willie got hired. Oh, it's a perfect Florida State hire. Oh, man, he's going to kill it. Oh, it's a perfect recruiter. And then, I mean, the same way we've seen FSU suck as a school and not do what they need to do. And then we just see the stats. So Mike's doing all the right things staff-wise. We've seen him, like, put the right things in place, the attention to detail. Things are happening. Dude, they couldn't organize a national championship celebration in 2013, a week, like, until February or whatever. So like them like actually.
Oh, did that celebration ever happen?
Yeah, it was like it did happen. Yeah, I have the picture. Yeah, it took.
I don't remember it ever happened.
It took a full month. I remember that.
I gotta go look.
I was gonna say I was gonna say the same thing. I missed the parade.
No, there wasn't even a parade. They just walked into Doak. Yeah, I got one picture.
Oh, it was
okay. I think there's some confetti in there. Yeah, there's confetti in there. We'll call it a celebration. Hey,
February 1st.
That's wild.
That's your chance.
So, wow, bro. I did not know that.
I'm saying, bro, you remember how they rolled out the new uniforms? Like, it leaked at Walmart. The logo leaked at Walmart, and that's how people knew there was a new logo.
Hmm.
So, like, the execution of the school is there. Like, they're not, like – there's a lot to overcome as a
head
coach at Florida State University.
We got a couple questions. Let's see. Watching on TV, the team looked small. Watching live, did the team look the part from the stands, even if the scheme and Norvell is a genius? Would it matter if the physicality can't compete?
Like, yes and no. Like, they definitely look small. They've been small. I mean, if you've looked at FSU over the last, like, few years, like, you're always like, why do FSU look like college players and everybody else looks almost like pro? They definitely built up. Like, even Jordan Travis put on, I think, like, 10 or 15 pounds over the offseason. So they put in the work. It was their first full conditioning program since spring 2020. So I think they went through tour duty then. A couple kids so small, well, like Kevin Newell's small, like freshman small. Like, I mean, Josh Burrell looks big for a freshman. But like overall, yeah. Brandon, you were gonna say something?
No, that's what I'm gonna say. I think we gotta adjust the starting point, right? These weren't freaks of nature. These weren't freak athletes who were coming in already physical and big. These were a lot of three stars and guys that a lot of other teams didn't want. So they were coming in as high school kids. We normally didn't at Florida State. We weren't used to seeing high school kids. We were used to seeing grown men coming into Florida State. And so they when they got bigger, they got bigger. You know what I mean? Like they turned into Hulk and freakish athletes. Now these guys are just becoming like you said, college kids. So our starting point from where we got, you know, from where we were at to where we're headed is different. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you take me and I bulk up. Well, I'm an older guy, so it'll look different. But I mean, you take this 18-year-old who didn't have a good strength condition program, didn't have a good weight program in high school, and wasn't a physical freak. I mean, he's going to add 15 pounds. He'll look a little bit more cut, but he ain't going to look like the huge monster that they are. And I think that's what you're looking at, a team full of guys who really weren't freaks, who really weren't highly recruited, and except for a few exceptions. And so it's going to take them a few years. We compared it to, you know, I think a couple weeks ago, we compared to, like, why Wake is good every 4 years. You know what I mean? It seems like every 4 years, Wake feels a really good team. Because it takes a 4 years for those guys to kind of get into that man body, and now all of a sudden you're looking at, you know, a full senior team full of grown men. Florida State used to come in with those grown men at the beginning. And then by the time that, you know, you go through one offseason, now you got these monsters out here. And they just don't have that. And it's going to take a minute. You got to recruit those guys to get back to that level.
Does the team look small? Okay. I think the further and further we've gotten away from those elite Jimbo classes, the smaller the team is looking. Okay. Right. So if you look at, like, just body types, like J-Rob and Kendo compared to Jermaine Johnson, those are different types of body types. You know what I'm saying? Like, J-Rob may not be, like, the greatest football player of all time, but he looks like one of the greatest football players of all time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if him and Kendo step off the bus and those are your two-star defensive ends, you think you got two NFL sets of defensive ends. You know what I'm saying? You have to – those guys was 4 stars and 5 stars. You know what I'm saying? Those are different type of guys. It's the reason why Jermaine Johnson is not at Georgia, okay? There's a reason for that stuff. You know, and I'm not saying that he can't be a good player at Florida State. I mean, guys at Wake Forest and Duke, they go to the NFL every year. They have guys that go to the NFL and that have good NFL careers. But I think the difference, like what Brandon's speaking to, at Florida State, you need guys that's going to be contributing in 6 to 7 games. Well, that means you got to recruit a certain body type, and you don't have time to put that guy on the shelf, you know. So do they look smaller? Yes. I think the thing that stood out to me wasn't really how big they look, but they look slower to me. Like on defense, they look slow to me, right? They look a half step slow to me, and I mean, Quayshawn Fuller already takes forever to get off the football. Like it just like. Like, it's really one of the most disgusting things. If you ever want to just see something just like throw
it's
up.
It's gross. That's the name of it. It's gross.
Yeah, bro. Like the ball literally be thrown down the field and he'll still be coming out of his stands. Like, it's really disgusting. But, like, so I think that's the one thing that does stand out to me is, like, they're not as twitchy as you would like to see them on defense. I think that bothers me more than how big they are. Because I think eventually you can not just bulk up, but get high-level strength after a while. I believe in Storms, actually. I think Storms is, like, one of the best football hires we've made in, I don't know, 4 years, 3 years, I think. I trust him more than any of the coaches we've hired, to be honest with you. So,
and that's why I was bringing – and that's why I brought that up, because I was saying, like, I saw Storms taking a lot of heat, how little the kids look. Man, you asking them to turn into Hulk overnight. That's not how weightlifting works. It's not how strength works. And it's not even the best approach to doing it. You know what I mean? If they came back and those kids looked like the Bama guys or whoever – then understand there would be some failed tests going on. Yeah, there's some injections. There's a lot of things happening that shouldn't be happening right now. It takes a minute. That was kind of the point of why I was saying all that. They're starting from a smaller place, and so they're not going to look as big. Not this week. It's going to take them a few years.
All right. So the other guy asked. Let me see what I got here. What do you guys think of McClain? I think he's going to be a good wide receiver. I think he's going to be a 1,000-yard guy eventually. I think he's going to be a guy that that catches 40, 50, 60 balls here and becomes a 1,000-yard receiver. I think he contributes by – I think he's on the field early. I think he really starts contributing by game nine, game eight, game nine. I think you start seeing him breaking loose and making plays, I think. So I like McClain. I'm actually a bigger fan of when I watched him than I am when I saw him in high school. I wasn't really that high on him in high school. I was like, well, okay, you know. But actually, he's I think he's the real deal. I really do.
I'm going to come to the grab. No, he's somebody I'm excited because there was talk he was going to decommit at one point. Like, he was not going to stick with the class. So the fact that he stayed in, he's bought in. Like, dude, they used him in, like, the Seminal Boosters, like, the climb series that they're doing. He was, like, one of the feature players. So, like, the fact that he's that – oh, yeah, dude, 23. That's even better. But there was some maybe – optics of Jameis going to the White House that were part of that 2013 team not going to the White House. But we'll just talk about football. We'll talk about football. But McClain, dude, he looked great. Like, the fact that he stayed in, he was putting out, he is invested. The fact that you got an 18-year-old kid going, yeah, I sit on the sidelines and I'm even taking mental reps. Like, I'm making sure I'm learning. Like, duh, the coaches told him that. But the fact that he, like, retained it and remembered to say it, great. Like,
yeah.
Good for him, dude. He's very good with the media, which is something amazing. Like, it took me 27 years to even talk to people on camera. Like, he's great. Mackenzie Milton, like, definitely a little over embellishing here, but he goes, dude, the sky's the limit for that kid. He's going to be playing on Sundays, which let's maybe let him, like, go through a semester at school. But, dude, the kid's good. Like, the kid, he was running crisp routes. He got wide open on that touchdown throw. Like, convert, like, he didn't fall, he didn't, like, celebrate, he just went in, he just did his work. Like, I'm very happy about him.
Yeah.
Polished is kind of what I got. I think he's a polished receiver, which is something we hadn't seen in a while. Like, coming in early as a polished receiver, love to see it.
So what will we consider acceptable losses, and when you look at the schedule, dude, I've been this way since, like, after the Georgia Tech game last year, I got to the point where, like, I no longer care about wins or losses. I just want to see steady incremental growth from players.
After that game, when I was like, this year doesn't count. There's not even a real schedule. Just play.
Yeah. I mean, because when you got beat by Georgia Tech, you got beat by the worst ACC team that I thought was in a conference. Be quite frankly, I thought Georgia Tech
still had triple option guys on the team.
Barely know what's happening.
Right. So once you got beat by them, that means that basically anybody in any Power Five football conference could probably beat you. Right. I don't know, man. I mean, I just want to see guys get better. Yeah. I mean, can you get an offensive tackle on a roster where you can push DTL inside, or get another offensive tackle where you could push him and Washington inside, and you get a competent offensive line, and McClain gets better, Amari Gaynor becomes more comfortable at the position he's at, can Travis J break out and be a good safety on this level, can he show that promise that we think he is? I mean, those are wins and losses for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to rant and rave every week about, God damn it, how did we lose this week? I know we're not good. I just go into the games knowing we're not good. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I, like I said, we got to change the way we look at the football team. They're going to be 5 wins, 6 wins, maybe 7 wins. Maybe.
That's, I mean, an acceptable loss, I guess, is going to be anything with Jacksonville State or UMass. Because if Walt Bell comes into Doak and takes a dub,
well,
that'll hurt.
Well, if Walt Bell beats you, if Walt Bell beats you, after Willie beat Walt Bell last year, that might be fireable. Might be fireable.
No, give Ham all the money. Shut the football program down. And get over.
That's the only two losses I can look on the schedule and say you better not lose to UMass.
But then as far as like win, like you look at the rest of the schedule, like FSU. I don't know if I'd pick them to win any of the game exactly, but there's no way that they shouldn't be competitive in all the games except maybe Clemson, or definitely Clemson, but Clemson, Miami, and Florida. Like Miami and Florida, you got to get up for. Like at the very least, even the terrible Willie teams, like modern, even the one that got him fired, it was like close enough. They could have maybe done something.
Yeah.
So that's what, like, in the call, like 6-6 is not good enough. Like seeing 6-6 happen this season, like we talked about at the beginning, like 7 wins, good program growth. That's a 4-win improvement. But that's a 4-win improvement being 7 wins is like
crazy,
mind blowing. Like it's great. Like, because he's right. Like the Coburn video gets played a lot of that, the quote of Willie, where he's saying like that's just not good enough.
Right.
And it isn't. Like we are, like we know we're in a different situation now. We know FSU's broke. They're paying one coach. Everybody else's buyout, like whatever. Like Mike's riding out his contract. What this year is going to turn it, like, is he going to get an extension on that contract, or is he just going to ride it out and he's going to be the Ron Zook who like got the program right and then Urban Meyer comes in?
What you think, Brandon?
Well, I mean, 6-6 is never good enough. That's not even, I mean, that's not the standard. That's not what Florida State expects. And it's not anything that anybody who represents or loves Florida State football would ever say is okay. But like Sam said, our expectation has to be a little bit adjusted, right? Like, I look at the schedule, you're right. Outside of Jacksonville State and UMass, I'm not, they can lose to all of them. You know what I mean? Like, I can't guarantee that. I mean, Notre Dame, Wake Forest, Louisville, Syracuse, North Carolina, Clemson, NC State, Miami, Boston College, Florida. I can make an argument that all those teams are better than you. I mean, most of them beat you last year. And I can honestly make an argument that they, you know, that they're better. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I really don't. And so when I look at it and I say, yeah, of course, they'll win some of those. They'll probably beat NC State, or they'll be, you know what I mean? Like, but NC State blew you out last year with Bailey Hockman as the quarterback. So, you know what I mean? So when I look at it and I say, you know, so can I make the argument? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we've gotten improved, but we're also going to be very young. We talked about it. And so what's an acceptable loss? I mean, I think they're all acceptable, honestly, outside of UMass and Jacksonville State. Everything else is just because I'm not looking at it from a wins loss standpoint. I'm looking at it as, okay, where did they get better? Where did they improve at? What you know what I mean? How did they lose the game? You know what I mean? Like, everything. I'm literally taking these as one game seasons. Like, I look at this game, and whether they win or lose, I'm going to say, all right, this is what I saw from it. If it was unacceptable, I'm going to tell you it was an unacceptable loss. They had no reason. They were the better team, and they lost. If they were, you know what I mean? If they were just, hey, they don't have the talent to beat NC State, or they don't have the talent to beat Wake Forest, or they got out coached, or whatever the reasons are, I mean, we'll give it to you. But at this point, I can't really guarantee that they're going to beat anybody, or they have better talent than any of those teams, just because a year ago, we lost to all of them. Louisville walked, you know, just absolutely, after having the worst offense, like, I think in the country at one point, came in and, like, rolled up 50 points on them.
Yeah, Jacksonville State almost won. We were saying, oh, man, you better not lose to them. And they, like, if Jordan Travis didn't come alive and show what he could do, like, Jacksonville State was walking down there with a dub.
Jacksonville State was going to beat us. Yeah, Jacksonville State was going to beat us. Like, if they literally didn't mistakenly find Jordan Travis, like, we do have another quarterback around here somewhere, right? Oh. Can't do no worse than what Tate's out there doing. Let's just see what happens. And it ended up working out for him.
It's crazy because I remember the first year under Willie, every podcast and everybody listened to kept saying this is a 7-win team, right? And they were saying if they get injuries on the offensive line, they probably won't make a bowl game. This is clearly stated, right? And I watched that team. I think at one time, I think maybe 4 offensive linemen on that team got hurt at one time in the 2018 season. And people was pissed. People was like, yo, this shit is not good enough. His ass got to go. It's too much talent, this team, blah, 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 blah. And then you like just opposed that to what we saw last year. You know, I mean,
it wasn't watchable sometimes. Like, I literally, like, had to turn away because it just was not good football. I watch CFL sometimes because I love football, but that was not good football to watch.
That was the worst season. Last year was the worst Florida State team I have ever seen. And I'm not even saying that to be hyperbolic. Like, I'm saying, like, that team was horrible. Like, horrible. I'm talking about when you get blowed out by bad teams, you're bad.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't even like close losses to Pittsburgh.
Right. These are bad teams you're getting, you know, getting drum rolled by. We're lucky. We were lucky that Clemson did not, that we didn't play the Clemson game. To be honest with you, we was lucky not to play the Wake Forest game, because I really think if FSU would have played that Wake Forest game and people would have saw the number that Wake Forest would have put on us, I do think Mike would have been under more fire, more heat.
30-0 would not get remembered anymore. It'd be the new whatever Wake Forest shutout would be.
Right. I really do believe that.
Yeah.
And
I mean, we didn't remember that game. We didn't have any offensive linemen. I think like all the offensive linemen, I think it tested positive for COVID or something like that. I think we have any DBs either or something like that. And Wake Forest was like rolling up like 45 points a game. It was going to get bad. Like that game wasn't going to go the way. I was so glad when it canceled. Like, thank you.
I don't know. They're about to sign Coach Pimp to a scholarship and put him at running back. They had nobody.
Yeah. Nobody. Yeah, so, you know, I'm just not in a place where I'm not saying I'm going to make excuses for coaches and stuff, but I'm going to be realistic. I didn't think it was going to be good last year, and I said that out loud, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I didn't say they were going to be that bad. You know what I'm saying? I thought it was going to be bad. I did not see 3-win bad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, not even in games from like the goal. Like the Louisville game, you was not in that game from go. Like from jump, you was not in that game. So, but no, I just think that we just have to adjust our expectations and just kind of just roll with it, man.
You just heard listen up. Who else?
Yeah. Is that on that beat? Oh.